Welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Buenos días, bienvenidos, bienvenidas a este servicio de adoración aquí en la Iglesia Menonita Prairie Street. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, but today is the sixth Sunday of Easter. So we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our new life and freedom within that resurrection. If you would, let's join together in singing in your blue song folder, Prairie Street Sings, number 74, as we rise, O God, to meet you. And as we're able, let's rise to sing together. Tell me of a home far beyond these skies. They tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm cloud drives. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. They tell me of a home where my friends have gone. They tell me of a land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the uncloudy day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an uncloudy sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm cloud drives. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day. Today, later on, we're going to read part of the big, beautiful ending of John's Revelation. It's the part with the river and the tree with the 12 kinds of fruit and all the nations being healed. So after all that turmoil and the trials and the suffering and the tribulation, we see this vision of fruit salad and fellowship. And it's so beautiful. But what does that fruit salad require of us? Think about it. That tree of life, like all other trees, needs space to live, good ground to be rooted, clear water allowed to flow clean, and time to grow in peace. John's vision is worth savoring. It's worth talking about. It's worth singing about. And we are required to play a part in it. Let us pray. Creator, you have made this day. You have rained the rain. You have blown the wind. You have shown the sun to us, and here we are to worship you. We are here to worship you and experience the peace that you are. We are here to worship you and share the love that you are. We are here to worship you and celebrate the freedom that you are. Help us to do that. Be here now. Amen.
No, 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 it's coming. I forgot to mention that's a hymn going in the new hymnal, which will be coming out in about a year. And now let's turn and sing The Journey, the Green Book, to number 70. Jesus, You Have Called Us.
Come now to our time of confession. Would you please join me in prayer? Creator, hear our prayer. Eternal God, have mercy. Forgive us for our complicity in our nation's works of violence around the world. We can sing about cloudless days, but we know that the fog of war has been unleashed in our names. Gunpowder smoke, mushroom cloud, napalm, burning bodies. In the name of peace, our representatives have waged war, and we have not stopped them. At the end, they offer peace that sits like an oil slick on the ocean, stuck on the surface, stifling healing and new life. They offer a stupefying peace. So easy, a soldier could do it, carrying the same gun as before. But the peace You've shown to us isn't shallow. It's deep, and it's savvy, and it's persistent, and it's connected, and it's true. Forgive us for not spreading Your unspeakable peace more broadly. And forgive us for not living fully into the freedom of Christ's death and resurrection. Eternal God, have mercy. Creator, hear our prayer. Forgive us also for our contributions to the diseased state of the planet. We read that there's supposed to be a tree at the end, but we're still cutting through the Amazon. We're still leveling mountains in Appalachia, scrounging for coal like an addict desperate for another hit. We're still willing to scrape through tar sands, fight for desert sands, and drill under the ocean for just a little more oil, like an alcoholic desperate for one more sip. And us here today, we're still burning fossil fuel in our cars, in our homes, in our schools, in our churches. Creator, we do love your creation, but we haven't figured out how to cut ourselves off. Forgive us for desolating your beautiful places. Forgive us for taking more of your bountiful gifts than we should. Forgive us for our part in whipping the planet into a half-dead version of your vision. We look around and we see that we have poisoned all the water, we've drank all of the wine, and we're scared to think what's going to happen when we all get thirsty. Will you help us? Will you be there with us? Creator, hear our prayer. Eternal God, have mercy. Amen. Friends, brothers, sisters, family, let us rise to hear our words of assurance. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is always our peace. Jesus is God with us in every moment. God is alive with us with every breath we take, and God is merciful. God is a river of mercy, a river of new life, and God is the vine, the very source of new blessings, new every morning. We have been offered living water. We have been offered the wine of a new covenant of resurrection love and eternal freedom. Let us accept these elements of peace and offer them to each other here this morning, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." La paz de Cristo esté contigo. And responding, y contigo también. Let us share Christ's peace. All right. Well, whether you're a child or if you just feel like one this morning, let's come forward for our children's time today with Sarah Nahar.
Thank you for what you've given. Welcome. When you see your friends, how do you say hi to them? You wave. What else do you do? When you see your brother or sister, how do you say hi to them? Say hi. Some hugs. In some places, they give one kiss on the cheek. Ew. Yeah, this one. Jonathan and I, today are going to talk about learning from people in Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, and Cambodia. And there, they say hi like this. Try it. That's the way they say hi. So when I first got over there and I was seeing people, I was going like this. And they were kind of looking at me funny. That person's from the U.S. But after a while, I remembered. We wanted to learn from people here because there's another connection that we have. We say hi, they say hi too. But the other connection that we have is that we were at war. And there was a lot of pain and damage that happened both here and there as a result of that war. We're going to talk about it in the sermon. But the basic message that I would like to share with you is that war, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Why don't you say it with me, okay? When I say war, what is it good for? Then you can say absolutely nothing. It did not help. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today and what we can do instead of war. So war, what is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again, y'all. War, what is it good for? Go home and Google that on YouTube. People have been singing that for a while. It was one of the songs that people use to say, we don't stand for war. Dear God, thank you for bringing us together, both here in this church and around the world, to greet each other so that we may know each other, so that we do not fight each other. Thank you for helping to provide us an alternative to war through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
From the least to the greatest of them, everybody is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have treated the wound of my people carelessly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They acted shamefully. They committed abomination, and yet they were not ashamed.
La escritura de hoy viene de Jeremías, capítulo 6, 13 a 15. Y es que todos ellos son mentirosos y avaros. Todos, desde el más chico hasta el más grande, desde el profeta hasta el sacerdote. Los líderes curan la herida de mi pueblo con liviandad, diciendo paz, paz, y no hay paz. Se han avergonzado de haber hecho abominación, ciertamente no se han avergonzado, ni aún saben tener vergüenza.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing each fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations.
In the Apocalipsis, capítulo 22, 1 a 2. Después me mostró un río limpio de agua de vida, resplandeciente como cristal, que salía del trono de Dios y del Cordero. En medio de la calle de la ciudad, y a uno y otro lado del río estaba el árbol de la vida, que produce 12 frutos, dando cada mes su fruto. Y las hojas del árbol eran para la sanidad de las naciones. La palabra de Dios. The word of the Lord. Our preachers this morning are Sarah and Jonathan Nahar. I'll invite them forward. Creator God, eternal peace, be with us here. May the words of Sarah and Jonathan's mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
forgiver of sins and redeemer of life.
The last Sunday we were all with you, back in January, we mentioned that we were going to be studying at a peace studies program in Bangkok, Thailand, for 3 months. We studied with people all over the world, examining critical issues related to peacemaking and justice today. Afterwards, we felt called to take a month to travel throughout Southeast Asia to learn about the ways that this country, the United States, has affected that region. Particularly, we felt a need to learn firsthand about the ongoing legacy of the war against Laos, Vietnam, and Cambodia. It was a devastating war that began in 1955 and lasted 20 years until 1975.
Please raise your hand if you were alive during that time, and keep them up. All right, and the rest of you, look around. Thank you. And we know that you, for those of you who are alive, have your own stories of what happened during that time. And though the war was over there, it had a profound impact over here. Our lives are inextricably linked with those of the people we bomb. From anti-war rallies to non-combatant roles to civil rights debates to alternative service, Mennonites, like others, were active during these tumultuous times. And one of the main aspects of the tumult was, for many people in the U.S., our political leadership was dealing with the wounds of the people carelessly, insisting that our actions abroad were promoting peace, but there was no peace then, and due in part to the lingering effects of that war, no peace now.
For those of you who weren't alive during that time, we'll try to give a quick sketch. Though the war was officially fought between North and South Vietnam, the U.S. began a secret bombing campaign in 1955 in Laos. Then fought against Vietnamese unification, used air, naval, and ground war in Vietnam, and ended with a pummeling Cambodia with bombs. It was a Cold War era proxy war.
Proxy war being powerful, large countries fighting in smaller, less powerful countries to see who would be the world's strongest.
And to be frank, the U.S. did not want these countries to be free to choose their own government, because they might choose a communist government that the U.S. didn't like. So the U.S. came all the way across the world to stomp them into submission.
To bring it home, here's an analogy that helped me. It would be like if Donald Trump did not like that Rod Robinson was favored to win the upcoming mayoral campaign. And so our city was divided in two parts, and then the federal forces hovered above and bombed us day and night, meanwhile putting Dave Miller back in power because he was mayor before, and then not allowing the election to happen. Mayhem would ensue. All of us and our families would be caught in a crossfire. We would be forced to respond. And just because you live in Goshen or towards Mishawaka, both areas claiming to be neutral, they would be heavily affected too. So regardless of who you are voting for mayor, the main point is that Elkhart population should be the ones who get to choose, and no one else. So bringing it local helped me understand the dynamics of what was at play. If that analogy doesn't work for you, don't worry about it.
When the U.S. finally left the region, all three countries were in shambles and still in the midst of unresolved civil wars. War, what is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
To feel our way through these layers of painful and complex history was really tough. The sticky residue of grief and kind of resigned pragmatism was everywhere. Each morning we began our journey with a prayer that grounded us in gratitude for the opportunity to connect with this place and people, even though it was really hard.
And that same prayer ended with a request to the divine to help us notice and absorb the beauty as well. We were meeting geniuses of survival and experiencing resilience of the people and of the land. For wherever there is violence and oppression, there is also responses of peace and engineers of liberation.
May what we learn and see today honor the people of this land and the place itself, we would pray.
And we pray that we would be gracious sojourners to each other and to the people we met. It was the first trip we took as a married couple, and traveling with someone like that, so we definitely wanted that part in the prayer.
So the Mekong River, it flows in between Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, and Cambodia, and we began our journey of lament and resilience floating on it. The smog from the seasonal burns and the nearby car pollution was so hazy that it burned our lungs. The land around the river was producing much fruit in its season, and locals on the boat talked amongst themselves about news as we made our way slowly across a landscape pockmarked by war.
The U.S. bombed Laos every 8 minutes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 9 full years. It was not actually the U.S. Army, but the CIA, in a covert war kept mostly secret from U.S. Americans.
Laos would become the model for CIA interventions as it began to do that type of thing all over Latin America, the roots of some of the immigration crisis today.
They tried to devastate the country through unbridled force, dropping more bombs on Laos than any other country in history.
Our eyes would search the terrain for any sign of unexploded bombs that lay in the ground.
A third of the bombs dropped 50 years ago actually didn't explode. They remain charged and unexploded. And people today still lose their limbs because they start a fire too close to an unexploded bomb, or they hit it while trying to cultivate their fields, or children play with them and they explode.
Mennonite Central Committee assisted in early unexploded bomb detection efforts, and that was because of young adults choosing not to be in the military, but to humbly go and see and learn from the people considered enemies of the U.S., that they realized there that the unexploded bombs were a big issue.
Now, those cleanup efforts are firmly led by local people and by the Laos government with money from international donors.
We visited a cave. This is an image of the cluster bombs. One bomb would be dropped from a plane, the shells would open, letting out many small bombs called bombies. We visited a cave that served as a shelter for villagers who were rained down upon with these bombies. Whole villages at times would flee together. This vast cave was on the side of a steep hill. An entire village hid there. A school, a hospital, and recreation all took place inside a cave, in the quiet, in the dark. No one went out during the day, only at night. And they scarcely lit candles for fear the flame could be seen or detected. And this lasted for years. But heat-detecting technology eventually located the cave. One day, a U.S. laser-guided missile slammed into the side of the cave, causing it to quake and fall, while another hit the other side, and a third came right into that cave's mouth, sucking out the oxygen and snuffing the life of everyone inside. It wasn't until months later that 374 bodies were carried out.
One of the first Americans to ever visit that cave was Jackie Chandon and her late husband, Roger Rumpf. They worked there with the Quakers, American Friends Service Committee. They were in Vietnam in the 60s doing alternative services, working in opposition to the war, and they would periodically travel to Laos. Jackie shared how difficult it was to get stories out about what was actually going on, how they had to prod and plead with diplomats to get them out of their cozy offices to see what was really happening on the ground. They used their photographs and documentary interviews to speak truth to power. This is a picture we took with Jackie. She's the one in the middle.
Governments actively tried to bury the information that Jackie and Roger were uncovering.
Since the late 60s, she's still working to get the CIA to declassify important information regarding Laos. Jackie's call is like that of the prophet Jeremiah, exposing that there is no peace, revealing the abominations of war, calling us to be ashamed of these actions and address the harms caused. She has requested an intern to work with her to carry on this work for the next generation. Might that be one of you?
Or someone you know. Spread the word. The U.S. government claimed that the war in Vietnam was on behalf of the people of South Vietnam. And on their behalf, the U.S. dropped bombs all over their land, the vast majority in the South. And to aid the war effort, U.S. planes sprayed poisonous chemicals like Agent Orange.
The active ingredient in Agent Orange is dioxin, one of the most destructive chemicals humanity has ever created.
We learned that U.S. corporations like Dow Chemical and Monsanto developed the defoliant, which destroyed vast swaths of forest and farmland throughout both North and South Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. Later, Monsanto would market a diluted version of the Agent Orange to U.S. farmers, calling it Roundup Ready.
And Agent Orange did more than just kill plants. Dioxin toys with DNA in humans. It's sprayed on or even near and destroys genetic development in fetuses and children. Those of you who were alive during the time probably remember seeing startling pictures of deformed babies whose mothers had been exposed.
Mothers that were not even born during the war. Sorry. No.
Walking along the streets of Ho Chi Minh City, formerly Saigon, we still saw children with inflated craniums or undeveloped limbs or other deformities because of the dioxin is still in the soil and still in the in the bodies of their mothers.
So those mothers weren't even born during the war. We have 4 or 5 generations of people being impacted by Agent Orange dioxin.
The leaves of the trees are supposed to be for healing and nourishing, and the waters to quench thirst. But because of the U.S. activity, the leaves have dropped dead from the trees, and the water is poisoned. Over 400,000 Vietnamese starved or were burned to death from the insides by the toxin. Add to this the deaths in Laos and Cambodia that remain unreported.
Much of what we learned about Agent Orange was at the War Remnants Museum in Ho Chi Minh City. It's an anti-war museum, which included exhibits about solidarity with Vietnam and activism around the war, all around the world. We pored over the photos, the maps, and the articles, reading about the numerous marches, activities, teach-ins, and other protests happening. All of this in an effort to get the U.S. to stop the bombing, stop the shooting, stop the spraying.
A whole section was on the resistance within the U.S. military itself. From these soldiers and medics who stopped, a U.S. commander ordering troops to shoot more civilians in My Lai, also called Son Mai there, to critical underground newspapers, GIs themselves began to ask questions about the morality of the war.
Their work was so courageous and inspiring.
We had previously only heard about faith-based anti-war activism, not much about what was being done on the inside.
And as we were about to leave the museum, after 4 hours of that deep education, I was kind of staring blankly at a newspaper clipping, and I noticed a mention of Bethany, Napanee, the Panthers. It seemed to be a sports, it was about the Blazers football. And I kind of was focusing in on the paragraph below. It said an anti-war statement. And my eyes raced to the top, and I stared as I saw it said, The Goshen News. A full-page ad had been taken out and says, Vietnam, why? An appeal for freedom of discussion. What is going on in Vietnam? What to do about Vietnam? And we read this ad that was taken out. And then we saw the names of the signers. J.R. Burkholder, Theron Schlabach, Maynard Good, John Howard Yoder. The names went on and on. people we knew personally or had known of, some who sat in these pews. Though Mennonite activism had been central to my history, I saw how it wasn't central to the full history of resistance to Vietnam, but it still made a difference. And it showed up right there, alongside the globe's work together. And now I realize how much our communities back then formed people who were willing to stick their neck out for their beliefs. And it is our community's responsibility to do that today. Now more than ever, we need people who understand how war abroad is unacceptable and that war at home must end. To speak up to dissent from participation and to offer an alternative, we must consistently live that alternative, share about it, and we never know the impact of our actions, but conscious living makes a difference.
The people of Vietnam remained conscious as well, vigilant about foreign investments, interventions. It is the country in the region most able to rebuff the new economic colonial power in the region, China.
We learn that some of the most famous anti-war protests in the U.S. actually came near the end of the war when the U.S. expanded its bombing to nearby neutral Cambodia. And here's an image from Kent State when federal troops shot and killed students who opposed the war. And while the carpet bombing, the U.S. also backed the CIA backed a coup in Cambodia. And so it so destabilized the country that allowed the Khmer Rouge to come to power. And for the next 3 years and 8 months, the genocidal Khmer Rouge regime destroyed its own Cambodian society, disrupted and ruined the country's agriculture, and killed one-third of Cambodia's people of all ages. Here are some of them pictured.
We were appalled to learn that when the Khmer Rouge were finally removed from power by Vietnamese forces, the U.S. led most of the Western world to embargo the country that had already suffered so much.
But there are always some Catholic nuns somewhere who, out of their devotion to God, break embargoes and serve the poor. And there are people like these Catholic nuns everywhere, people working day by day, quietly, slowly, having low ego, high impact.
The nuns who were part of the Jesuit Relief Service in Cambodia were able to marshal church resources to create oases of protection for people fleeing and displaced by the U.S. and Khmer Rouge violence.
Metta Karuna Center is the name of one of such of these places. It's an interfaith, intentional community and hostel where Cambodians and foreigners are welcome to spend time seeing the challenges of Cambodia through the eyes of the poor.
We ended up there because we were literally stranded, looking for a place to stay the night before visiting Angkor Wat. And we were guided by a former MCC-er, Max Ettinger, to this true wonder of the world.
Using Buddhists and Christian scriptures, they weave together a community of life and advocacy on the underside of history. They breathe new life into liturgy and rituals from both religions, showing how they can coexist and enrich one another. In this iconic image of foot washing, a precious ritual in the Anabaptist tradition, here someone comes to have their foot washed by a leader, but must say to them, "I have no foot to wash." What does foot washing ritual mean for someone who has lost their foot because it's blown off by a landmine as a result of war?
When the international campaign to ban landmines won the Nobel Prize in 1997, it was Thun Chinarath, staff at Metta Karuna, who accepted the award. You can go online and sign their petition to get the U.S. to join the rest of the world in a worldwide ban on these landmines. Folks from Metta Karuna Center are on the front lines of banning landmines worldwide.
Picture of Thun here. Bringing it home again. What are you on the front lines of? And the front lines are everywhere, not just in what is typically considered a war zone.
Classrooms are the front lines related to stopping bullying or building critical thinking and cooperative skills. Factory jobs give ample chances to do labor organizing or empathetic listening.
Church leadership front lines include tough decisions about how to be creative in the future and right-size our institutions. And how are you doing on these front lines? Make sure you talk about it with your church friends. Get advice. Get a hug. These are tough times, and we need metta and karuna. Metta being loving kindness, hesed. Karuna, compassion.
If you're not on the front lines, support someone who is. Don't tear them down.
God has called people in every age to hold the revelation vision of a world renewed, called the prophet Jeremiah, called people during the Vietnam War, and is still calling today.
And know that Jesus is calling you to live your life bold and big and unapologetic in a quest to speak truth, no matter what the consequences. To form relationships with those who have less social power than you do.
And to live an alternative to war.
Particularly at this time, when leaders are binding up wounds carelessly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. How can you speak truth to power? How can you sustain your anointing?
A lot of people died in that war. And a lot of people are dying on our streets today. But you are alive. You are here now. Let's not take this day or this learning opportunity or your life for granted. This is not a call just to think about your career. This is a call to take a leap of faith for the healing of the nation.
Thank you.
After the service, all will be welcome to come downstairs for Fellowship 15. And also, there will be prayer of anointing in the front, led by elders, as well as Sarah, who is bringing some of the spirit and prayer of that we learned about in Southeast Asia here. Now, will you, stand again for the benediction. May the God of peace be with us this week to rejuvenate us and give us the energy to do the hard work of peace in our lives, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world, so that the trees of life may flourish and the rivers of life may run crystal clear. Amen.